We begin today with the state of our aging natural gas pipelines. Because pipes laid before 1970 were grandfathered free of pressure testing, we don't know the full extent of the potential threat buried below ground. This week, that became patently obvious because of a couple of developments involving Pacific Gas and Electric, the utility that provides natural gas to a vast stretch of California, from Bakersfield almost to the Oregon border. On Wednesday afternoon, a leaky gas pipe exploded under a condo in Cupertino, missing its owner because she'd stepped out for lunch. Eight people in San Bruno were not so lucky when a much bigger pipe exploded almost exactly a year ago, killing them and destroying 38 homes. The verdict issued by the National Transportation Safety Board on Tuesday was damning. Federal regulators faulted PG&E for a, quote, litany of failures. Amy Standen takes us to San Bruno, where the community is still recuperating from the devastation.
September 9th was an ordinary Thursday evening. Residents of the Cressmore neighborhood in San Bruno were coming home from work. Tammy Zapata was already at home on Earl Avenue.
Mike was there. Amanda was sitting here on the couch watching TV. I was cooking as usual. And when I looked up this way, no matter how high up you looked, all you saw was fire.
She says the pressure of the blast was so powerful, it sucked the air out of her living room.
When you're in a dream and you're trying to run as fast as you can, but you feel like you're getting nowhere, like you're in quicksand, that's how it felt.
Just down the street, it was Armageddon. A massive fireball had erupted at the corner of Earl Avenue and Glenview Drive. 38 homes were incinerated. People were running up the street, screaming and in flames. Kevin Ashley had just given his kids dinner. Like a lot of people, he thought there had been a plane crash.
I made a split-second decision. I'm not gonna try and get in the car. So I took the kids and I ran around the corner because it's going. If not, we're trapped.
A year later, he still has a hard time talking about it.
First of all, I didn't want to die, but then I go, whatever. I didn't want my kids to die. I didn't want them to be burned. And then I decided it's not going to happen.
The family survived. The roof was singed and much of their stuff was destroyed in the smoke. Ashley's two kids, like others from the neighborhood, are still in therapy. The family now lives in South San Francisco. Kevin's wife, Michelle, says moving back to San Bruno was out of the question.
It's not a home if you don't feel safe, and for that night it almost killed us. So that was a lot of the reason why we decided to at least start over.
For people like Kevin and Michelle Ashley, the report that came out Tuesday from the National Transportation Safety Board was some vindication. It was scathing. NTSB Chair Deborah Hirschman pointed the finger squarely at PG&E, which owned the pipelines. Hirschman cited what she called a litany of failures.
Including poor record keeping, inadequate inspection programs, and integrity management programs without integrity.
The pipe that ruptured, says Hirschman, was, quote, woefully inadequate. It included a bad weld that would have been visible to the naked eye. Hirschman said the accident was decades in the making, that PG&E had many opportunities to spot the problem, but didn't. Hirschman cited the company's controversial high-tech smart meter program. Given all the money and innovation that went into that, she said, why was PG&E still relying on such an archaic gas monitoring system?
It's baffling to me that they can monitor homes with two-way communication and give people email updates, but yet you have people in a SCADA center that's supposed to be modernized, and for a good half an hour, they can't even isolate where the rupture occurred.
At the end of the report, the NTSB issued a list of recommendations that would help prevent these problems from happening again. But it will be up to Congress to see that any of those recommendations become law. Representative Jackie Speer from San Mateo County is one of several lawmakers who have been pushing for new legislation to ensure safer pipelines. But she says already those proposals are being watered down in a regulation-wary Congress. She points to one bill in particular that would require utilities to install automatic shutoff valves so that gas flow stops as soon as a rupture is detected. But she says the latest versions of this bill have no teeth.
The requirement would only be to put them in new pipeline or replaced pipeline, and only if it is economically and operationally and technologically feasible. Well, you know what that means. You know, there will never be a requirement that automatic remote shutoff valves be put in place.
Meanwhile, several state lawmakers have also proposed legislation. Those bills would also require shutoff valves and tighten oversight by regulators. One bill, sponsored by State Senator Leland Yee of San Mateo, passed to the State Assembly this week. After the NTSB hearing, PG&E released a statement. The company said it will embrace the recommendations of the NTSB, and it pointed to changes that have already taken place at the company. A new CEO, a reorganized gas division, and the promise to run pressure tests on 165 miles of pipelines to make sure that they're safe. Here in San Bruno, the neighborhood's transmission line has been decommissioned for good, and people are starting to rebuild. The sound of hammers breaks the morning silence.
Did we ever resolve the situation about having the bench here?
Well,
Bill McGoulahan is meeting with his architect. He and his wife, Betty, are one of the first families to rebuild.
Now that we have this enlarged entry here...
Like other families here, the McGoulahans received money from PG&E to help pay for temporary housing and other expenses. Now their insurance is funding much of the reconstruction. Bill says, especially for his children, the excitement over a new house is what will make it possible to return to this neighborhood.
If the house is exactly the same, I think it would be a lot more difficult for them to come back in. So I think we had to change the house to make it viable that we could move back in. So that's what we've done.
About 100 families, including the McGoulahans, have filed civil lawsuits against PG&E. The first batch of those suits is expected to reach trial next summer. Meanwhile, the U.S. Department of Justice, along with the San Mateo County District Attorney, are looking into the explosion and fire to determine whether PG&E should face criminal charges as well. For the California Report, I'm Amy Standen.